Usually picks up pretty quickly.
Welcome to call the town council meeting to order. It's 7:18 p.m. on April 22nd. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Weigold.
Here.
Ward. Here. Romine.
Here.
Henrod. Here. Simpson.
Here.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting, which was on April 8th. Were there changes or corrections?
I did find one correction.
Okay.
In the second paragraph on the compliance with statement of benefits, peak performance, it should be Whitley County, not Whitley County.
Good catch. Good catch. Any other changes or corrections? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve?
I can think of reasons
for that. Make a motion to approve the minutes as presented with one correction.
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Ben. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. Simpson, Penrod, Romine, Weigold, approve. Oryx abstains. Get that a lot more complicated. Next up is the tax abatement request for Precision Plastics. I think there's going to be a presentation tonight. There were some issues with the resolution. We wanted to go back and tweak and stuff. So there'll be a presentation tonight, and then the actual abatement will come up for vote at the next meeting. Okay? So if you want to just stand and speak from there, that's okay.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity to speak this evening. Very pleased to be here with Ryan Ritchie, Executive Vice President for Precision Plastics, and Ross Pinzak with Region 3A. With an abatement request for presentation. I'm on sidekick, Charlotte. You've heard me talk before about how we enjoy working with locally owned, locally grown companies. In this case, we have a locally grown employee owned company looking to expand in Columbia City, working with a number of partners along the way to find ways that we can support Precision Plastics. I want to just briefly mention that. And I'm sure Ryan will talk more about this project, but we've focused the last few years on our small business and entrepreneurship initiative. And you think of that, it might be just startup companies, people that have an idea on a napkin somewhere. But that really does work with or help to support any kind of growth-oriented businesses. And so Precision Plastics has participated in a number of our SBEI programs to help think through how to pursue expansions. And I hope in some small way that will help kind of create the foundation for more driving this stuff. Under consideration today. So, thank you, Ron.
Thanks, Al. We are actually in the process of building a little over 11,000 square foot cool storage warehouse. Our footprint has expanded inside the building. We built this building in 1996. It currently houses 28 injection molding machines. We've outgrown that capacity for our warehouse area. What the expansion of the warehouse allows us to do is allow us to free up based on production for a bar gap and a bus duct for injection molds. The other thing that we're looking at doing this with this expansion, which we're really excited about, is we're going to get an SQF certification, and that's safe quality. And that allows us to produce product. Obviously, with an injection molding, we don't make product. We've recently lost, our customers taking some business back. Because we did not have the certification. Once we received the certification, we are looking to get that business back and grow with them. They're a large capital, or approximately $130 million a year out of the Chicago area. They're highly automated, we are not, which allows us to be their R&D and small batch facility. It's a great opportunity for us. It allows us to employ, as our flyer says, we have about 87% of employees in the local area. We're looking to employ 12 more. Expansion. Again, it gives us a bigger revenue base with a reduced amount of sales dollars going out. We're also, as Al mentioned, which means we're owned by the employees. I myself am an owner. there for more than a year. They're all the owners of Precision Plastics. That's a nice thing about the life of our company is most of the value stays in Willie County, and all the value stays in Indiana. We don't have any out-of-state employees, so all of our employees are from Indiana. So we're really excited about it. The warehouse is going out. We currently lease some space here in town. That became an issue with some things that were going on, and thought there's a lot better economies of scale if we do it inside, and also allows us the opportunity to get this SQL accreditation, allow us to grow the business at a reasonable economic rate.
Mentioned Ross is here to go over any questions about the abatement. I just mentioned previously, I said in passing, we work with other partners, the IEDC at the state level, the Indiana Economic Development Corporation is working with us. I think Work One Northeast or North Indiana Works is at the table. So we're trying to look at all the tools we bring in from our toolbox. The abatement being an important piece of that, though, to help the company make the investments, take on new equipment, and add building expansion. And so, Ross, any questions or comments about the abatement?
Okay.
The resolution is going to approve two separate abatements, one real, one personal property. The real property is going to be $265,000 investment, and then the manufacturing is going to be $160,000. As Ryan mentioned, it's going to create 12 new jobs. And I'm correct in assuming you guys have this in front of you? Okay.
We have it in our packet, yes.
Okay. Basically, this is the breakdown of the cost savings over the next 10 years for both abatements.
Okay. Great.
If there are any questions, I can address those. Thank you.
Questions for the gentleman? Or maybe Charlotte? Okay. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here. Appreciate that. We will take it under consideration and take a vote at the next meeting.
Thank you.
Okay. Appreciate you deciding to grow your business here in Columbia City.
We're excited.
Well, yeah, thank you for being here. This is kind of a new thing we've been asking people to actually show up and explain. And we appreciate the time you've taken out to come up and give a presentation like this. So thank you very much for being here.
Thanks, well, we really appreciate the consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Next up, we have Jeff Rallis here. And it is the day that we've all been anticipating, but not wanting to come. That's no offense to you, Jeff. We appreciate your work and your firm's work. But this obviously is something that we have to address, something that's that train that's been running down the track at us at 190 mile an hour, and it's getting a lot closer now. And so I asked Jeff to kind of take what we had last year. Last year we decided not to do any improvement or any increases in the sewer rate, and so we decided this year we can't wait much longer because we know that 2017 is right around the corner, and that'll be when we start doing the design for our next phase of our long-term control plan. So with that in mind, I'll turn it over to Jeff.
Okay, well, thank you, Mayor. Good evening. As the mayor just pointed out, a little over a year ago, we presented the initial rate study looking at the funding of the Phase 2B and Phase 2C, which are the next two phases of the long-term control plan project. Just a brief reminder, as you may recall, in the report from last year, we were looking at proposing or estimating about a $6 increase just to catch up with current operations. We were seeing that revenue requirements at that time were exceeding current level of revenues. That was about a 12% rate adjustment to catch up, if you will. We also showed what the impact of taking on the Phase 2B project out in 2018-2019, and we estimated an increase, overall increase of about 37%, which is just under $70, so around $68-$69. So as the mayor mentioned, we took that report and just simply updated it and revised it, looking at two things. One is looking at your current cash balances within the sewage works to look at whether you're currently meeting those reserve requirements as established by the bond ordinance. Secondly, looking at various rate increase scenarios. I know there's been a couple scenarios discussed, I think, in the recent past, perhaps by the council, and we've integrated those scenarios, and we've also added a couple more scenarios based on what we found in the updated analysis. And then thirdly, we've looked at, as we've looked at those scenarios, we've prepared financial projections over the next 5 years or so, which ties in line with the Phase 2B project, and looked at what your projected revenues, costs, and potential cash reserves are in anticipation of possibly paying for design engineering for Phase 2B, perhaps some of Phase 2C, with cash on hand. So that's kind of what the approach we've taken. This PowerPoint I have, and I think everyone may have a copy of it in your packets, is a kind of an abbreviated version, if you will, from the detailed report that we prepared. And apologies, I'm trying to kind of try to get this to work. There we go. I don't know what I did, but it did advance, so keep my fingers crossed. As I mentioned, we updated took a look at the current cash balances, current being the end of 2013 within the sewage works. And at that time, the sewage works had just under $2.6 million in cash on hand. Some of that made up within the operating sinking fund, improvement cash reserve fund. And what we've done is compared those actual balances to the reserve requirements for the bond ordinance, which in total was over $2.9 million. So initially, and perhaps the most critical point to this updated analysis is that what we found is over the last year and a half or so, you have year and a half to 2 years, you have fallen below what the required reserve levels should be by about $347,000. Now, what this schedule doesn't include is stormwater cash balances. The approach we've taken is that the stormwater is more self-sustaining, self-sufficient, so we haven't assumed that the sewage works is utilizing stormwater cash, with the exception of the $292,000 that is pledged as part of the repayment of the outstanding bonds.
So that number is included in this number? The 290 some thousand that's from going from stormwater to sewage is in this number?
Yes, we have taken it into account in the financial projections.
Yes.
But for purposes of the cash position of the sewage works, we are not reflecting stormwater cash.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, worked. This is a schedule of the estimated project costs and funding of the Phase 2B. We haven't changed anything here, and I understand that the city is perhaps revisiting the current plan to look at ways to possibly improve on the existing long-term control plan. But again, we've assumed the same numbers that we assumed in last year's report, totaling $9,585,000. To be paid through sewage works revenue bonds. What I haven't reflected here is any cash that you may apply to pay towards design engineering. So in the event you generate sufficient amount of cash to be able to pay for that out of funds on hand, that would obviously reduce the $9.5 million bond issue. I mentioned we're including several scenarios here, what ifs, in terms of phased rate increase approaches. The first two I mentioned earlier, I think, may have been discussed preliminarily here at the city. The first one we're presenting here is scenario one, which is a $4.44 approach, and that basically assumes that the sewage works would implement a $4 increase, flat $4 increase per year. Over the next 3 years. And you can see what that would mean in terms of percentages in overall bill based on a 4,000-gallon bill. So under phase one, the current bill of $50 would go up to 54, 58, 62. And then we've also included, for informational purposes, as we work through our financial projections out in 2020, which is when you take on the debt for phase 2B, what the estimated bill would be. You can see that we're pretty close to what we were projecting before, which was around $68-$69, and we're projecting about $70 with the updated analysis.
Is this is phase one? Does that start this year?
In our financial model, we've assumed that it starts January of 2015.
Okay, thank you.
So if it starts this year, then that would only improve the cash position from what we're showing.
Okay.
This is an illustration of your projected revenues compared to your overall costs within the sewage works under the 444 scenario. You can see in 2014, obviously we're not assuming the increase to take place until 2015, so we're showing a overall decrease in cash of about $232,000, a small decrease in 2015, but then you see that reverse in 2016 where you begin generating positive cash flows, and that would continue through the rest of the projection period. Again, this is sticking with the scenario 1444. What we've done is we projected out what your cash balances would be within the sewage works, taking into account those requirements according to the bond ordinance. The operation maintenance fund should be maintained at a little over $300,000, and you see that grow throughout our projection period, basically due to inflationary increases. You'll see a reserve for the bond and interest account, which is to make your bond payments on the outstanding bonds. The funding of the debt service reserve over time, which would be fully funded in 2017. And then what we've done is we've indicated in bold the improvement fund. And if you work through the cash flows in terms of how revenues are supposed to flow through the sewage works, you know, you meet your operation and sinking fund and debt accounts first, and what remains then gets deposited into the improvement fund. So as you can see, you're actually short projected to be short in 2014. Much of that is because we're already $347,000 short currently. So we see that negative cash situation continue in 2014. And slightly in 2015, and then you see it start to decrease and improve going forward. And then we would project that you don't actually work through that negative cash deficiency situation until 2017. You'll see a positive $138,000. So under this scenario, you wouldn't actually replenish your cash position until you get to the end of 2017. The second scenario is the 5-4-3 approach. So, you know, in terms of dollars, at the end of the phase three, we're at the same point as scenario one, which is at $62, but we're taking a tiered approach here, starting with $5 and then $4 and $3 in the third phase. And basically, we're accelerating slightly from scenario one. But then, as I mentioned, when you get through phase three, you're at the same point as phase one. I'll just point out that in 2020, and in all these scenarios, we're still coming back to the $70 at the end of the day. Again, this is for scenario two, a projection of your revenues and costs. A little slightly better picture than scenario one. You know, 2014 is the same, a negative cash position or negative cash flow. You see that reverse, that trend reverse in 2015 and continue to strengthen every year after that point. Again, in terms of projected cash balances, slightly better than scenario one, but
hey,
still.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. Will you go back one slide? I do have a question for you.
Sure.
When you look at 2017, that's obviously the best cash position we would be in, but you see a decrease in 18 and 19. Can you explain that a little bit for me? You sure I'm talking about the difference in requirements versus cash balance?
Yes, I do.
You see kind of a peak there in 17.
Take a look at the details of the report real quick.
don't want to get too deep in the weeds. I just, it's important to understand why we would go from a better cash balance and then kind of decrease that.
Sure. No, that's a good question. Yeah, the reason for that, it looks like the estimated funds for capital improvements increases a little bit between 2017 and 2018.
And that's based
the
on
difference.
For things that probably Mike will need at that point or
right.
whatever.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you. I didn't mean to get too deep mm-hmm. there, but wanted to, yep. Okay.
In terms of the cash position, again, same scenario here. We're looking at continuing along this path of having an insufficient amount of cash through 2016, and then finally when we get to 2017, we're actually meeting the cash requirements. The third scenario takes a little bit more of an aggressive approach. Again, we're reflecting a tiered approach, 7-6-5 approach. And in terms of the monthly bills, you can see where you'd be at in terms of an average bill, $57, $63, and then $68, and then what the percentages are associated with those dollar amounts. And again, slight improvement on scenario 2. In scenario 1, we're looking at a higher level of positive cash flows starting in 2015, generating as much as $989,000 in 2017. As you'll notice, the cash position is improving as we move along here in the scenarios. And under scenario 3, we're actually looking at meeting all the cash requirements by the end of 2016. But again, still takes some time to get to that point.
Jeff, if I remember correctly, one of the things that was asked from this council through me to you was to try to find a way to pay for engineering of the project, phase 2B, out of cash. Is this the only scenario out of the three that we would be able to pay for the projected engineering costs? Out of cash?
Yep, scenario 3 and then scenario 4, which I'll share with you, are the only two that appear to generate a sufficient amount of cash to be able to provide you an opportunity to pay for that out of funds.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
And that's a good point. In 2017, you'll see, which I believe is about the time you'll begin incurring some of those design costs, you're looking at about $1.12 million within the improvement fund at the end of that calendar year. The final scenario, scenario 4, kind of goes away from this tiered or phased approach in light of the negative cash position. It looks at implementing a single phase rate increase of $13 on the average bill. So the bill would immediately go from $50 up to $63. It's about a 26% increase right off the bat. Obviously, you start generating positive cash flows right away as soon as that's implemented in 2015 and continues at about that same level over the next 5 years. So we see the most positive forecasted fund balance scenario, again, 2014, prior to the implementation of the rate increase, is still negative, but you actually have recovered fully by the end of 2015 and are able to comply with the requirements per the bond ordinance. And once we get out to 2017, you're at just under $1.2 million of cash available to apply towards design and other improvements. So obviously this is the most aggressive approach, but paints the best picture financially speaking in terms of being able to replenish those cash balances and meet those required reserves, as well as provide funds for design engineering. This is the same schedule I think I shared with you before, just a comparison of other communities similar in size to Columbia City. Currently, the city is up at the top compared to some of these other communities. However, and I know it's been discussed before, and I know others and Mayor, you've discussed that certainly the Columbia City is not in this boat alone. A lot of the other communities are in the process or have already taken action in increasing rates in anticipation of their meeting their long-term control plan goals or their combined sewer overflow projects. So one thing we, Mary, you'd asked us to share with the council and others, just to give you a sense of what's going on with other communities. We've included some articles that have gone out here recently, just to give you an idea of what's going on. New Haven, I know, is in the process or has recently raised rates. They're looking at, I believe it was a 42% rate increase. The City of Bloomington looking at increasing rates $15 to $25 for the average family. The City of Napanee, who we work with as well, contemplating a $27 million project for their long-term control plan. They're looking at raising rates anywhere between $65 and $118 per month on the average bill, which is be a pretty big hit. City of South Bend, between 2010-2013, raised rates a combined 40%, another 79% between 2006 and 2009. Their projections show going out through 2029 they're anticipating or estimating 192% increases, looking at bills of around $136 per month. Tipton, again, 41% increase, sewer rate hike, stormwater, looking at about 196% increase, going from $4 to $11.85. So very similar stories with other neighboring communities.
I should mention that there are every community, as you well know, are different. This is no surprise to you, but many of the different communities, some communities have had a separated system for a long time. Their forefathers had kind of thought that out and had separated the system quite a while ago, but many, many communities our size are in the same situation as Jeff had alluded to specifically regarding New Haven. They're probably about the closest to where I think we probably will end up, as the previous projections that Umbaugh has provided to us. Previous projections had shown us by the end of the long-term control plan to be about $75. And if you look at, they're going off of 5,000 gallons. But as you can look, you know, their customers at 5,000 gallons would pay $75.35 a month. So I think we're very close there. Again, our hope, in a lot of ways our prayer, is that, if you're allowed to say that in a public meeting, is that with the new long-term control plan, with some of the potential green solutions, with some of the stormwater separation projects, things like that that we are doing or will do in the new long-term control plan, that hopefully we'll be able to find ways that this impact won't be as much. I can't promise anything. I know we're working we're working with the company that was, I guess, selected regarding the new long-term control plan. There's a lot of things in the process now, and I do want to make it clear. I know I've said this before, but I want to reiterate. sewer rate increases is one piece of the puzzle. It can't be the end-all be-all of how we fix our sewer system. We have to look at it from a holistic approach, which is why we're doing the long-term control plan. That's why we're doing stormwater separation. That's why we're looking at downspout disconnection program. That's why we have rain barrels, and that's why we're also looking at sewer rates. Look at this as a holistic approach, and as you can tell, and I appreciate the work that Umbaugh's done in kind of putting together some of these other communities that are going through this as well. It's painful, and it's unfortunate that we had to get to this point, but we're here. And as you well know, tough times bring challenges to tough leaders, and I think we have an opportunity here that instead of setting a precedent of passing the buck, I think we have an opportunity to really do what I think is the responsible thing. And it's not going to be pretty, but it is going to be the responsibility of the individuals at this table. So I didn't mean to interrupt you, Jeff, but I need to make sure that we're looking at this in a holistic view, and we are trying a lot of ways to try to minimize the impact, but unfortunately, until we have a new long-term control plan, this is the route we're on, and I think it's better to be prepared and move down this track. And certainly, we would love to be able to pass the ordinance to decrease rates, would we not? But I think it's a responsible move for us to start this process. So, look forward to your comments and questions that you would have for Jeff. Or myself, I guess.
I have a question. You have this schedule of the rates in comparable communities. Do you have access to data on what the debt service is on those comparable communities and what their cost structure is?
Most likely we do. We don't have that compiled into one database, but we work with many of the communities on this list, so we would have debt information associated with the communities.
As well as operating costs? Or
Yes. If we do rate work for them, we would have, and actually the information is public information through State Board of Accounts. You can look at the reports, but that information is out there. But we have not prepared an analysis that looks at ratios between how much of their rate is made up of operating versus debt service and the various components. It could be done, but we don't have that information compiled.
I would ask, maybe not completely related, but somewhat related here. Here's the best way of putting it. Can you describe other communities that you have worked in, if we are doing, if we are paying for sewage works the same way that everybody else is? Or have you seen more creative ways of paying for sewage works that we haven't investigated?
The way you're operating in managing the sewage works is very consistent with how most communities do it.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other means of managing it from a financial standpoint? Sure. I think where you see that most of the time is in terms of addressing debt. Other communities can look at or have looked at and do apply other sources of revenues to help subsidize the sewer rates, if you will, whether that be TIF revenues or ceded revenues or other available funds of the city. So other communities do look at subsidizing the sewer rates with other revenue sources. Some communities have, as you're aware, have stormwater fees, which help subsidize some of the CSO long-term control plans. Others don't. They fund it all through sewage works. So I would say, generally speaking, I think the way you handle the sewage works from a financial standpoint is consistent with how most do it within the state of Indiana. But certainly there's other alternatives that can be looked at and researched further. But for the most part, you operate pretty much like all the other utilities.
I know in the past we've looked at, Jeff, and just kind of for your edification and a reminder to the council, we have looked at the option, or at least I've presented, if you will, the option of putting in an additional cumulative fund on our property taxes or to support this project. I think it's pretty fair to say that we are against that. You know, I'm not sure that it's the property owners that should be subsidizing the sewage utility rather than the actual sewer users that should be paying for the utility. So, and I'm not sure if there's really that much of a difference between those residents, if they're the same residents or not. But I think in the long run, though, as we looked at it, I think at least in Rosie and my initial, gosh, this was a year ago, but I think in our initial look at a cumulative fund, I think it would have significantly raised our property tax rates for our residents. And so I think we certainly shot that down quickly. So, again, it's not that we haven't looked at other creative ways like you had kind of mentioned, but it's good to know that we're all on the same sinking boat. So, other questions or comments?
So we just absorb this and see where we're trying to make a decision where we need to go with it.
Well, I was going to say, what I'm going to challenge you to do is I would like at the next meeting for us to discuss this any further and make a decision on what route we're going. If we at the end of next meeting decide we need a little more time, that's perfectly fine, but I think we really need to get soon on this. So I would challenge you that by the next meeting have some deep, hard thought about this, and we can hopefully come to maybe some kind of consensus at the next meeting regarding where we go and which option, let's say, we proceed with.
Was there a recommendation of which option? I mean, obviously, the best one's the worst one.
I mean, always. Always.
I mean, that's just going to give us the most cash. But at the same time, I think we got to, you know, really consider our people and how we're going to come up with that additional money. Can we get by with phase one? Is that a realistic?
You mean scenario one? Okay.
Is that a realistic scenario that we can make it only going $4, $4, and $4 for the crossing?
Yeah.
Is that realistic?
I think the critical piece here is the current cash deficiency. The 444 doesn't get you there. I think my recommendation would be, as you alluded to, the kind of worst case scenario from your standpoint, and that is looking at implementing the rate increase in a single phase. That does two things. That replenishes your cash balances by the end of 2015. None of the other scenarios do that. You're already pretty far behind the eight ball in terms of your cash position. And I wouldn't feel comfortable recommending the other phased approach to where the next two or three years you're still in a cash deficient situation. So I think it's very important to, as quickly as you can, replenish that cash. And by doing so, you have that replenished by the end of 2015, and it gives you the funds that you're looking for, if that's the city's plan, to help pay for design out of funds on hand. As I mentioned earlier, at the end of the day, out in 2019 or 20, either one of these scenarios, you're at the same point. You're at roughly that $70 per month bill. So what we're talking about is how quickly do you want to accelerate the increases in the interim. So my recommendation would be the most aggressive, and that is let's turn around this cash deficiency as soon as possible and get back into a positive cash flow situation.
It sounds like option 3 or 4. 765 or 13.
Yeah. And I would lean towards 4. But if the city felt absolutely we can't implement that phased increase at one shot, option three is the next best option. However, under option scenario three, terms of projected cash balances again, in 2008 into 2015, you have a negative $408,000. Now, what does that mean? Your reserve and your operation and maintenance fund is only $308,000. So basically, that indicates to me that you don't have funds to operate. Now, you will have revenues to rely on during the year, but in terms of your cash operating balance, you're out of operating cash. Either you're out of operating cash or you're out of debt service reserve or bond and interest.
Probably the latter of the two.
Probably.
But yes.
So under the scenario three, again, you're looking at not getting back to or fully replenishing your cash balances until the end of 2016, which is 2.5 years away.
So as it relates to this cash efficiency, I mean, I assume you guys did projections when we did the last bond. What's changed? Because I assume when we did those rates, we didn't plan on a deficiency 7 years later. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, why are we in the hole we're in?
Well, I think one of those is the fact that we had to take out an additional $800,000, $1 million bond to finish this last project.
That's correct. That's one of the issues. The other issue is operating expenses are, we're seeing that they're higher than the original,
the last projection
in the last rate increase. But those two reasons primarily is why you're in the negative cash position that you're in.
I think during that time frame, Mike, just for clarity's sake, during that time frame, I don't think we've added any additional staff. I mean, I think maybe replaced, but we haven't added any additional staff, I don't think, have we?
No, other than just the intern program.
Yeah.
No, it's still the same amount of staff.
And I think we've just replaced, basically broken down,
just broken
like
down.
Mower.
We haven't added any new equipment, we're just repairs.
Yep.
Last year was a very expensive year, but it's...
A lot of that was sludge hauling, was it not?
Sludge hauling was a big chunk. And then we had, I figured right offhand, but, you know, a little better than our college and repairs. We were just worn out.
Sludge hauling was actually down last year.
Sludge hauling was down last year?
In 2012, it was 157. In 2013, it was 87.
Last year was just a regular year. The year before, we had to take it all the way from the bottom because that's when our mixer fell apart. So it cost more that year because we had to go all the way to the bottom so we could actually pull it out because it was sitting on the tank floor so we could access it. And so that's why it cost us more to actually get to the bottom. Last year was just a normal hole in here. So this year should be, I'm hoping to have that same figure for this year too.
87?
Yeah, more or less. But I've had the same price for the last several years, so hopefully they don't increase the price on me. I haven't talked to
him
yet.
Told a couple of the guys today, I look forward to the day where we can pop up our GIS system and show a map of all the sewer pipes that are throughout our community to show what people are actually paying for. Because when they just see the plant, they say, well, this isn't worth this much every month. And I think if they could really see the infrastructure we maintain.
The network of wires and pipes that we have in the ground just up there is amazing.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I guess my concern is just making sure we don't miss on our projections going forward.
I'm with you, Ben.
I don't know.
The only thing that I can add to it that I just found out and I did not give to Jeff on this, our die store cover, just I'll be reporting on that later. That has a 10 to 15 year lifespan. This cover's to be replaced, the two membranes. Not the whole system, just the membranes. And I done some research online, and that was around 2010, and that was a community. Theirs was a 42 foot digester, and ours is a 50, and they were looking at over $200,000 for replacement at that time, put new membranes on. And we're at 6 years this year.
I mean, you know, by the time we build up cash in 17, we're going to have a $200,000 repair, potentially.
I hope not. You know, at 10 to 15, you know, we get closer to the 10-year, then I'm going to have somebody come in and do an inspection on it, because that's the last thing we want to do is tear a hole in it, or just to see the condition of it. And it is showing signs of wear. You can see it on the seam. That's, I mean, it's not in bad condition, but, you know, they give it 10 to 15 years. And as far as I know, the city knew that when they purchased that several years ago, $200,000 probably for repairs. The system itself complete when it was purchased was over $700,000 for that.
So normal replacing or repair of stuff isn't included in this projection? Or?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so that's included?
No, that, not that.
Not
one.
That.
He said
the membranes. The membranes were not included on his figures for this. Okay. But our other projects that we had out there as well.
In the detailed report on page 8, we listed out some of those anticipated capital improvements, which
basically that information came from our 5-year plan that we talked about at the retreat. So we're a lot of that. Other than the membrane. I just thought, since we were going through this, I would throw that out there. We're not up to the point of the 10 to 15, but that is the lifespan of it.
So when was that put in? When year one bid?
The one that I looked at?
No.
No.
When would have been the first year? I mean, when would 15 years be?
The Dyster cover. When was the first year?
It was sold in 2008, so it would be...
23?
18.
Yeah.
18 would be 10 years.
Yeah. So if it's 10 years, it would be 18. It would, in this scenario, in 765, we'd be in a favorable cash position to be able to pay for that in this scenario.
Right, but we're planning on using that cash to fund.
Yeah. Certainly.
Yeah, we have included, just for information, consistent with what we presented last year, some inflationary increases. We haven't assumed any growth, customer growth, so... In that sense, we're conservative, but obviously, you know, if this is barring any unforeseen major projects. But what we built in was $113,000 roughly, average annual capital replacements per year is what we built into the projection.
And that's what you guys ran for office for? Other questions, sorry, I don't mean to make light of it, I really don't, but other questions, comments for Jeff?
I was just interested to see if we're throwing darts at nothing or which one's really our best.
Well, I'm glad we went back to Jeff, because, you know, if we would have a rate increase that we would have had to go back in another year or two and a tweak, I don't think our citizens would have been happy. I mean, they're not going to be happy either way. But again, I hope that our citizens will understand that there's a reason I've titled this the long-term control plan for rate increase, because if we didn't have the long-term control plan, even going back, we wouldn't be where we are today. Certainly with the bonds that we have today, certainly we're in a negative cash balance. That's obvious. But that's why we're trying all different ways to try to address this issue.
Now, and again, and just one last comment, Mayor, if I may. And again, this assumes sewage work self-sustaining in terms of cash position and revenue. So to the extent that you look at other reserves, available reserves within the city, stormwater. I'm not suggesting that, Jeff, but stormwater or other means to help subsidize this negative cash balance in the interim. You know, that would help bridge that gap that we're seeing over the next 24 months or so.
So am I to understand that when I look at, let's say, 2015? The end of 2015, and there's a $408,000 shortfall. Am I to understand that the $290,000 that Stormwater gives to sewage is not included in that number?
It is.
It is included?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
We're assuming, in the projections, we're assuming that $292,000 coming in and is reflected in these numbers.
Okay.
Yes.
Just want to make sure we're on the same page.
And that's mainly to help fund the bonds.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Jeff.
He used to be my friend.
Obviously, the decision had been made by some of you, actually, or at least the previous administration. Decision had been made to have the stormwater utility subsidize in some way, shape, or form the sewer utility because a lot of the long-term control plan had to do with stormwater being a part of the system. And actually, I think that's I do think that's pretty a pretty fair way of addressing that. But as we move forward, certainly we're going to have to really take a look at this. And as the stormwater utility does more projects of separation, we're going to have to continue to evaluate where this all is. So,
and I'm sorry, just a point of clarification. I don't want to confuse anyone. That 292 is in there. What I meant by utilizing other funds to help subsidize, I meant, for instance, rely on other cash balances, mm-hmm. like the cash that you're holding within the stormwater fund, and rely on that to bridge that gap.
Can we invest enough to cover that shortfall? Mm-hmm. I'm kidding.
Well, you're talking about that.
We have been trying to be creative with investing cash, with investing debt reserve dollars, right? And investing that and trying to get a return on our money. And actually, Rosie's done a great job trying to get return on that money. And actually, we have gotten some return versus what we were getting. So, again, the whole spectrum here. Last questions or comments for Jeff? Thank you, Jeff.
Okay.
Appreciate your help. And like I asked, like I said earlier, I would really... ask the city council that we come back at our next meeting. Please, Rosie, I would ask that you put it on the agenda, that we come back at the next meeting and really really have a hard discussion and make a decision which direction we'd like to go. We'll be into May at the next meeting. Thank you. Okay, school resource officer update. School resource officer is ill. It's ill today.
We will reschedule.
So we're going to pass that. Before we go to 8 and 9, Kent is in the audience. And instead of make you wait, we'll bring you up. And Kent Beiler, right? Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah, and I brought snacks.
Oh, see, and that's why we got to it early.
I'll just say, Dr.
Mayor, thanks for letting me stop in, and Mr. Romine, we talked earlier, I believe, today as well. I'm the owner of the pretzel food truck that you see sitting out on the town square, and I just wanted to get an opportunity to kind of give you a little background of where I'm coming from and what we envision by visiting your town and what we see in the future. Let me start with a little background on myself. My father was the first Auntie Anne's Pretzel franchise owner in the state of Indiana back in 1991. He owned as many as 5 stores. We actually own 3 now, 2 in Fort Wayne in the mall, 1 in Muncie. And then the food truck is something I started last year. We actually sat at Tractor Supply parking lot from about August through the end of October. And your community, in comparison to the other communities we're in, Auburn and Kendallville, wins the prize for loving the pretzels the most. We were very successful and super excited about getting back in town. But I wanted to take a little bit different approach this year, which is when I contacted the mayor and talked to him a little bit. And I know that you guys are in the process right now of putting together an ordinance that will kind of set a precedent, I think, as far as food trucks and things like that. Am I correct on that? Yeah, because what I was doing last year was just the $20 a day peddler's fee. So I'm very curious, and I shared some stuff with with Mr. Romine about what Auburn is doing, what Kendallville is doing, to kind of get a feel for that. So I'm really looking forward to what you guys are coming up with. But part of the reason I want to be here tonight is just to let you know one of the major points of my intentions for the year. The food truck, not having a lease, like a mall lease and things like that, gives me a lot more room with my profit margin. And you'll notice if you visited the truck or if you haven't, you get a chance to visit that. Riley Children's Hospital is featured on my truck, and we've been a proud sponsor of for many, many years now. And what I'm challenging each community is that you support the truck when we're here, and in return, at the end of the year, I'm keeping track of the sales on Tuesdays, and I will do an in-kind donation to Riley Children's Hospital in the name of the town of Columbia City and Auntie Anne's with 5% of whatever that total number is. Based on last year, we're probably looking in the range of $2,500 to $3,500 by the end of the year. Beyond that, we want to know how we can grow in your community. I'm seeing a vision of, if the food truck continues to be successful and Auntie Anne's is on the grow right now very big, that we may end up with an Auntie Anne's in Columbia City, a standalone or a, you know, something like that. But this certainly is kind of paving the way for that kind of thing. One of the brand new things that just popped on our radar, and my brother's actually the first one to do it, but Auntie Anne's is now doing some stuff with Myers locations, and we're opening an Auntie Anne's in Fort Wayne in Chapel Ridge Myers. And I'm looking into one of the Lima Road Myers. Auntie Anne's and Walmart already have a relationship and have for about a decade. So there's some possibility that maybe your local Walmart or something like that. But for right now, I'm just excited to be here. And the downtown location was kind of the idea that hopefully we can help drive people to the downtown. I can envision a nice summer night and people eating pretzels and sitting on the wall and that kind of thing. And then beyond that, we're looking for anything else that your community is offering that we can do in return visit. We did the Fall Festival last year. We had Justin told me today that some young college kids stopped by and there's something coming up. It's like the Taste of the Town or anything like that that we can do to stay plugged in. I just didn't want to be that guy that kind of rolled in on Tuesday, made my money, and you know, went home like the pillar. But we want to make sure that we're setting a foundation for continued long-term growth in your community.
How did today go?
Today went very well.
I can imagine.
I'll give you an example. Not as good as where we were at, you know, last year. But for the first day and a brand new location and absolutely no advertising, very pleased. $1,500 in that ballpark.
Good.
But we were pulling $2,200 to $2,300 a Tuesday.
I
thought you looked familiar. Hopefully you will verify this then too.
I didn't know you were up there. I'd have been there today.
The other thing that we bring is we try to, Auntie Anne's has always done this, set a standard for customer service. So hopefully as you visit our truck, you'll notice that you know, the people that I put in there are knowledgeable and serve people well. And we're just looking forward to see what we can do this year. Does anybody have any questions for me or comments about how are the pretzels? They're a little cold probably, but
still good.
Okay.
My daughter texted me as she went by on the school bus.
Oh, there you go. Bring some pretzels home.
Hey.
Well, we're finding that everywhere we go. If we can come up with that location and continue it the same. The brand really speaks for itself, so it really takes a lot of pressure off of me because the brand is now a national brand. And speaking of that, they're actually getting ready to rebrand themselves. I will get the first look at it on May 4th, but they're actually going to change the entire look of Auntie Anne's, which a lot of franchise systems will periodically as they grow. Auntie Anne's is about year 26 now, and we've been doing it for 23 years. So, for example, when I started, there was a little over 100 stores. And here we are 23 years later, and there's over 1,600 stores in 26 different countries. So it's quite the ride we've been on. The food truck is new. There is a second one now. A good friend of mine who's been doing it as long as me in Middlebury, Indiana, is where she lives. She owns the Auntie Anne's in Kalamazoo, but there's now an Auntie Anne's pretzel truck north of here. She did her, this is kind of a funny story, she did her debut on Friday at the Shipshewana Horse Auction, and I went up to assist her. And I was out front sampling product and just kind of greeting people, and I ran into a handful of people from Columbia City that were already like, hey, where were you guys at? And I'm like, well, there was snow on the ground. You know, it was a little tough, but we'll stay as long as we can into the year. I got some wind of a basketball tournament thing that that's coming up, so anything you guys can present us, but I see long-term potential for what we're doing as well. But thanks for letting me introduce myself. Enjoy the product, and we'll be back next Tuesday, and hopefully I was helpful in your ordinance stuff, and we're looking forward to see what you come up with. Great. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for being here.
My girlfriend, Cindy, by the way.
Hi.
She didn't let me do that. Good night, guys.
Thank you very much. Have a good night. Invite snacks for every meal, or every councilman. Tuesday night, yeah. Okay.
Grease all over our agenda.
Yeah, we're going to have grease all over our iPads. Oh.
It's not funny.
Not funny, Terry?
Okay. Next up is Ordinance 2014-3. Can I have a... I'm sorry? Oh. Can I have a motion to read by title only?
Second.
Motion by Weigold, seconded by Romine. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. Thank you. It's unanimous. Please read Ordinance 2014-3 by title only. There's a ball here.
Ordinance 2014-3, an ordinance requiring the installation of a T-box emergency access system for use by the Columbia City Fire Department during an emergency or any other actions deemed necessary by the Columbia City Fire Department, and adding T-box emergency access systems to Chapter 94 of the Municipal Code of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
I know you discussed this while I was gone at the last meeting. Between now and then, have there been any issues brought up or any questions? Okay. I don't know who's going to make a motion when all your mouths are full, but...
make a motion.
Motion to approve.
Make a motion we approve Ordinance 2014-3 on second reading.
Second.
Motion by Ben, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It's unanimous, I'm sorry.
You're taking too much time off.
Going for professionalism tonight. Okay. Next up, we have... I'm trying to get there, I apologize. Ordinance number 2014-6. Can I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Motion by Jackie.
Second.
Seconded by Ben. Any further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read 2014-6 by title only.
Ordinance 2014-6, an ordinance of the City of Columbia City authorizing the Municipal Electric Utility to make a loan to the City of Columbia City Stormwater Utility for the Southwest Stormwater Project.
This is an ordinance that needed to be drafted up. What we're doing is, rather than having our electric utility dollars sit in an account and make very little interest, we thought it would behoove us to, instead of for the stormwater utility, going out and getting a private loan regarding the Southwest Stormwater Project, we thought it would probably be a good idea for us to loan to ourselves with a 1% interest, which benefits the electric department. It benefits the stormwater department because it's not as high of an interest rate as what they would have it somewhere else. So we felt like this was a good balance. I will say, the way that this was written, it talks about payback within 7 years, I believe. And I felt like this is a pretty fair way of doing it. In general, I know one of the concerns is and has always been if we loan within one another that full amount will never get paid back. And I will say that I'm determined that that's going to happen on this one as long as I'm mayor. So, yeah, I know.
No, seriously.
Yeah.
There's been previous homes that haven't been paid back?
No, I think, no. I think there's, what?
We paid them all back.
No, I know. I think what I'm saying is there's a concern that if one department loans to another and that department gets short on cash, there'll be a saying of, oh, we're just going to waive it. Well, I'm saying that we're not going to get there, is what I'm saying. So with that being the case, is there questions or comments? That's kind of the background of it. Yes.
This in no way jeopardizes the funding of the electric department. They've got ample funds to do this.
That is correct.
As long as we have no problems.
As long as we don't have any major problems.
Yes.
Which begs the question, what if they have a major problem?
I think we're still okay.
Yes. The biggest problem that could happen would be a substation go down, and that's going to cost $500,000.
The issue I have is a fiber ring that we're putting in is coming out of the budget as well. That leads to other upgrades I need to make to substations and things like that, but it's all well put down into the budget. So
in that case, that we would need the money back, the stormwater could just issue, borrow money privately, pay it back.
And quite honestly, the Board of Works really talked about where that level is going to be. The stormwater utility has close to enough funds to fund the whole Southwest Stormwater Project, but that would leave them at a zero operating balance, basically. So it felt like $500,000 was a fair level. $500,000 is what the stormwater utility is actually putting into the project cash-wise. $480,000, is that right, is the amount that's being loaned. So certainly it could be a situation if all heck breaks loose and the electric department has to get that money back. I think that would be fairly easy, and if we did need to go out and get a small loan from a bank, I think the stormwater utility could do that. So.
And actually, our last loan, the sewage borrowed from the electric. I wish they had the money now, but at one time they had enough cash, we even paid it off early just to get out from under it. But, and hopefully, you know, that could be a possibility. Mm-hmm.
This is a question for Marcia. Are governmental agencies, they're not bound by the FR rates?
Thank you.
I mean, is the interest rate high enough?
We ran this through the account.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't set this, the account.
The office.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Anything else? Okay, can I have a motion to approve?
Second.
Dan, motions. Full seconds. Any further discussion or questions?
This doesn't need to be approved tonight, does it? I mean, as a...
emergency.
Not on an emergency basis, no.
Okay.
All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. We'll move that to second reading. Woo-hoo. Okay, Mike.
Yes. Let me go first.
Department reports.
Okay, we've had the pressure transmitters installed on our dye store, new ones. The gas side's working just fine. The air side did not make a difference. So I was in contact with the Ocean. I talked to their superintendent on the phone. They have two dye stores. So I had to talk with him on the phone and found out some interesting information. They've had a lot of issues with their dye store as well. They've had moisture problems with theirs, and moisture getting into their system and actually shorten their transmitters and their electronics out. They've had to replace numerous times, pull water out of their mines and things like that. We haven't had any issues like that. Our gas transmitter was bad. The new one was installed. Touch programming, they actually have a readout on them a lot better than the original unit with it. The air side still does not. So I talked to him on the phone for probably a good half hour, 45 minutes. I chatted with him. And he says they need to look for a leak. So we went through, we checked all the system, everything that we could find on the outside, and found that our hose that supplies air to the outer membrane itself had white spots on it, and those white spots was actually thin, and you can feel the air coming through those. So it's not making pumping, getting the air all the way into the first membrane and then coming back out through the system to read a air pressure on that side for a differential. So long story short, tomorrow we have the ladder truck from the fire department coming out. I've talked to Tom, we're borrowing that. I'll have two of my guys, they'll go up there, they'll be tethered off with full restraints, and we are going to replace those two lines tomorrow. Then later on this year, we will replace the methane side. Is that if I talk too much?
No.
Yes. So that's what we're going to do tomorrow, just replace those. We have the hose and everything ready to go. If you remember, I talked to you about one of our companies that we buy from, having our UV system inspection done on it for free. We've had that done. I've got the report. If anybody's interested, just let me know, and I can email you a copy of that. You guys are very impressed with our system, the way we run it, and the way we maintain it, and what we are able to actually do ourselves. And they made some recommendations of things that we need to do. Of course, you know, it was somewhat of a sales pitch, too, and then at the end, they gave me quotes on a maintenance program for them to come in. There's a gold, silver, and a bronze, but I don't think we're interested in that. In terms of our stuff about that, flow meters, we got two brand new flow meters today at a cost of $8,136 after a trade-in. We trade in two of our oldest flow meters. One we use as a flow meter inside of sewers, one of our original ones, and then the other one was a plant final flow meter. We traded those in. They gave us $300 a piece for those. The current flow meters that we were using, they were only going to give us $300 on a trade-in for those. I decided to keep them for $300. We'll run them until they're no good, and then we'll throw them in the trash. So we have four flow meters now that we can set and do four places at a time. The biggest thing that I was most proud of is several years ago, we started charging for a pre-treatment program, doing inspections, turning the laboratory fees on all the testing and samples that we have to do back to the industries, and they have to repay. We bill them. We don't make any money on the lab fees. Rosie just sends them a bill, or we send them a bill, and they pay exactly what we were charged. We don't make any money on that, but on inspections, violations, and things like that is where we make the money. And it wasn't to actually accumulate funds. It would just be a self-supporting program. And last year, I talked with Rosie, and last year we had, in 2013, the program itself made $14,000 on income. So that more than paid for the flow meters that we bought this year just off of that. And that was the goal of that program, to start charging and make it self-sufficient instead of paying everything that we had to pay, bring money into it, and then be able to turn around and buy equipment and things like that, and not actually take from the regular revenues. And that's what we're seeing now. So I was impressed with that. That's all I have.
Questions of Mike? Thank you, Mike. Tim?
Yesterday we had another meeting with some administrators from WCCS. Continue to plan active shooter training. It will be in June. Along with that, Office of Smart Department continue to go a lot of training, some in-house, some outside courses that will continue throughout the year. We've scheduled Board of Work interviews for the new hire, and they're scheduled for May 8th. And after those interviews are done, they'll make recommendations for the new hire to the Board of Works. We had another Ordinance Review Committee meeting today. More of those to come, I'm sure. Tomorrow is the Whitley County Safety Commission meeting. And our new cars, we're still waiting for equipment to be installed. We have a little bit of a delay with equipment, but I hope to have one of the first new cars back by the end of the week. So
the white ones.
The white ones. Yes.
Add that.
We did have one out front for a couple hours last week. I don't know if anybody had a chance to see it.
I thought that was a state police.
I did too.
About what?
I thought it was state police out there.
Oh, they look much different than the state police cars.
They are.
They look cool.
So, yeah, we're happy with them. Just a little delay on some back ordering with equipment. The installer is very busy, so hope to get them soon. That's it.
Questions of Tim? Thank you, Tim. Sean?
Well, we've ran three to maybe four this afternoon. I was in interviews all afternoon, so we might get full service hooked up in the last 2 weeks for houses are flying up. So that's a good thing. We hooked up a service for South Whitley one day and did some work up there. We also went last night, had an outage in Whitley, repaired that. We did have an outage on a rural mine. A hard word.
It's the pretzels.
Rural. It's called the country.
The country line. We had a gentleman with an excavator decide to remove our lines from the air forcefully and with flames and fire. So it kicked out our entire breaker for the country line. We had 99.9% of the people back on within 20 minutes. It's one of those situations where we had a crew in Whitley, we had a crew up in Aetna, and a crew out on 300 North, and kind of spread out everywhere. Luckily, I grabbed somebody and we got it back on in about 20 minutes, but there were issues with our substation breaker after that. So Spectrum Engineering came in the day after and did some testing on it. They think everything looks fine. They couldn't really find the problem, so it's kind of like the car that has problems until you take it to the mechanic. But that is the breaker. Those are the breakers we're looking at replacing with this new fiber ring. So I told them I didn't want to put any money into a major overhaul at this point. So if you got any calls from country, which I guess if you didn't, customers, that's what happened. What else? Oh, our new skid loader came in. It's being outfitted. Should be done the next day or so. And that's all I have.
Questions of Sean? We get paid for every time we go to South Whitley, correct?
We do.
Okay. Just want to make sure we understand that. Okay. Terry?
Still waiting on Spectrum to come back with the quotes on the fiber network. Going to meet with the school this week, and they want to talk. The school IT department wants to talk to us about the fiber network.
Oh, good. Okay.
There's some interest there.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've only been talking to them for 4 months.
Anyway, going to meet with them this week. I don't know if I reported or not, but Dispatch Products installed our new furniture in our dispatch relocation, the one by the window. If you get a chance to stop and look at it, they did an excellent job on that. We're really happy with it. So that's all I have for today.
At the last meeting, did you report on the speaker system?
I wasn't here for the last meeting.
Oh, okay. Do you want to report on the speaker system?
Well, on the mayor's project. We're
on my pet project.
We're working on a downtown notification system. It's basically a speaker that sits up on top of City Hall and has quite a range that we're going to be able to operate from inside of City Hall. USSI is providing the products out there that they make for the military, and you can really hear it. So we're hoping to get that plans for that finished up this week when I meet with the mayor and have that installed before all the things start downtown.
Tim, do you have comments on that?
Just a comment that whatever warning sound came from that speaker was directly above my office. I had no warning that that was happening. I wasn't sure if I should call right to my desk or try to run away or what was happening.
You heard it?
We were being invaded by very loud aliens.
Yes, indeed. It did sound like an alien invasion.
That speaker is very impressive.
I was on the roof.
What's the point of that speaker?
Yeah. What?
What's the point?
Two-prong, I would say. The first is, rather than setting off what many believe to be tornado sirens, I don't know what the official title, is it a storm, what is it?
They're tornado sirens.
They are tornado sirens.
Yeah.
In the past, when there's a bad storm that comes through, we activate the tornado sirens, and people think, oh my gosh, there's a tornado, and start flipping out. So, the thought is that with all the events that we have in our downtown area, it would probably behoove us to have a system in place where we can get on and say, you know, ladies and gentlemen, this is an alert. The storm system is, you know, there's a storm system that's breaking downtown. There's an alien invasion.
Crawl under your desk.
Yes.
I think we just opened up the can of worms for high school students to break.
Well, and that's the other piece, is that the speaker itself, the we would have a very tight, controlled... I would say we did get a phone call from one of the judges, from Judge Fall, saying that at the next election time, he would appreciate using that sound system.
He also had certain music he wanted to hear, too.
Oh, certain music requests as well?
Bon Jovi.
Yes. So that's one thought. That's really the primary purpose, is to warn people downtown with all the events. The other purpose that I'd love to do is to play Christmas music in the downtown during Christmas season. I think it brings a touch of personality to our downtown and hopefully would encourage more usage of the downtown, that along with some other things we kind of have thinking and planning of.
Well, we also thought that they could use it for the event, so a wireless mic could be out here, like when they start races and stuff like
yeah.
that. You could use the wireless mic anywhere down there.
I didn't hear what you said. I don't think I wanted to know.
We're good.
I'm trying to remember what was played, but there was a variety of music that was played and tested. So I thought the test was great. I really did. It exceeded my expectations. If you are very close to the speaker, you're drumming on the lead. But
it's not even close to their most powerful unit either.
Yes, and they actually had plenty of room, I think, to turn it up. So they do really cool things out there. So. Questions of Terry? Thank you, Terry. Jeff?
I'd like to request that that be up and running by June 21st.
That's possible. Why? What's June 21st?
That's our 3-on-3.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So that would be a goal.
I think it's an achievable goal.
Earlier this evening, you heard about the rate impacts for long-term control plan. Those proposals will be before the Board of Works first meeting in May. As it stands right now, United had met with Mike and myself, gathered a bunch of information, has been running a lot of analysis on it, and should have a draft proposal put together for me tomorrow or for the next day. So that'll be coming before Board of Works in May for consideration.
And that's regarding...
That includes the fee structure and the contract, which Marcia reviewed already. That's the one that you marked out.
What's going to be on the next
one? I'll give it to you.
The LTCP contract.
Oh, okay.
With United.
And that's is that a council or a Board of Works?
Oh. I thought that that would be Board of Works, but it's...
Yeah, I know. I think it is Board of Works. I thought you had said council. That's my bad.
Oh, did
I'm
say
sorry.
Council?
Okay, I apologize. I got pretzel ear.
Okay, that's okay. As Sean had indicated,
okay, I bet heard of it.
Earlier today, we had interviews for the GIS coordinator vacancy. Had some, I thought, some good candidates, and one particularly stood out for us. So we've got HR's currently working on references for that individual. Ross was here from Region 3A tonight. He's going to be back tomorrow morning to meet with his mayor and myself, doing a comprehensive plan status update for our planning grant with Through Oak Grove. I did finish earlier this week, or late last week, giving him the interview questionnaires that had been completed. My next step is to solicit support letters from key agencies and leaders. So that's on my planning agenda. Mayor Rosie and I met with Structure Point today, and just to give you an update, we're very close to the acquisition of the Coon Hunters, and we're close.
We're this close.
And once that's acquired, I think that we can move ahead. What did you say, at the speed of light or something?
Yeah, anyway, something like that.
We're looking at the very earliest at this point of a bid letting in October. Once you get notice to proceed and everything, mobilization, you're looking at probably November, this year for the start of it. Work through the winter, but still work, and then wrap it up towards the end of the third quarter of 2015. Been working a lot on Eagle's demolition. I know Jen and Kevin Snell, as well as Greg Hochmeyer, have been helping me with that. I have postponed the proposal deadline for submission until next Friday, a week from this Friday, due to an asbestos inspection. Just through the advice of several people, we felt like that it was money well spent. So that's underway right now. And the Blue River Industrial Park signage should start the first week of May. Is that right?
I think so.
Okay. So very quickly you'll see a different face on our business card. And that's all I've got, but I wanted to comment on the Taste of the Town, the ETA initiative. All of us kind of tend to look at the bad things. I know there's been some articles about storefronts that are closed downtown, what have you, but there's a lot of really good stuff, and for them to take this initiative, I just think is outstanding for young people to be engaged in a process like this. So the Main Street Association is supporting them, and I know that you guys will too. That's it.
Questions of Jeff? Thank you, Jeff. Mike?
The Eagle Glen, the new water line, is in service, turned on and in service. And basically, that's it. We've been that line under the radar, a book ship for the last 2 weeks. So.
Very good. Questions of Mike? I didn't get I know you were formally introduced last time, but I want to publicly say that I'm glad to have you on board. I appreciate the attitude that you bring to the job, and excited to see you spread your wings and fly. Appreciate that one. With us, we have Aaron Schenbeckler, who is a youth council member and has the distinction of, for the second year in a row, being at some of the longest meetings that we've had each year. So, Aaron, do you want to give a very brief overview, introduce yourself again, and what we did at the last meeting?
I'm Aaron Schenbeckler. I'm a senior at Columbia City. And at the last meeting, we did some service work. We went to the Methodist Church, and we served a meal. And that was really neat to just kind of get the opportunity to do that as a council. And we kind of talked about, at the end of each year, we kind of do like a service project just to do something as a group to give back to the community. And last year, we got a sign donated, and we put, well, the sign was up, but we planted some different, we worked with master gardeners and planted some flowers and things like that around the sign. So we just kind of did that and like it end of the year celebration type thing. So we kind of talked about and got some ideas on what we wanted to do this year. And so that's pretty much what we did last year.
Okay. Questions of Aaron? Thank you. Marsha?
Nothing.
Rosie?
Nothing.
Jackie?
Nothing.
Okay, let me tell you real quick what's going on. Friday, if you didn't know, we will be having a kind of a retirement party for Mike Deere and Ron Gallmeyer. Is that at the MSF? And that will be at about 12:30-ish out there. So certainly welcome you to attend that. A couple of things here. Oh, there we go. Arbor Day celebration is at Mary Raber at, looks like 1:15-ish, somewhere around there. That's kind of always a neat neat event. Opening day, first pitch at Morse's Park is going to be this Saturday. I don't think I wrote down which time, but I feel like it's...
Great.
11. Were you going to report on that?
Yeah.
Are you going to? Okay. And I think the softball committee is the one that's kind of in charge of opening day this year. And I think a good decision is State Representative Kathy Hewer will be throwing out the first pitch. So we're excited for that. Have a good, strong female leader in our community to be throwing out the first pitch for that situation. Besides that, I mean, National Day of Prayer is next Thursday. Probably not supposed to say that, sorry. But welcome you at 7 o'clock. I'm going to be attending that. 7 o'clock, I think it's usually at Grace Lutheran. And besides that, working on a whole lot of things going on. So we're back in the saddle, and I think we got a rhythm back. So that's pretty good.
Just one thing, I'm trying to figure out, I keep, it's not fair to Mike, but I keep getting weekly notes, updates, is where are we at with forming a OSHA
safety committee?
Yeah. Where are we at with that?
Okay.
Because I think this has been going on for a while, and we seem to have little issues pop up in our now, and where are we at with that?
I think that's a great question. I appreciate you bringing that up. Safety committee was formed some time ago, but it was kind of a how do we improve safety. Recently, we've had a lot of discussion with OSHA recently. Actually, a fair amount of our guys went to an OSHA class. I feel like I'm saying falling safety, but that's not right.
Trench safety and fall.
Fall protection, yes. Trench safety, fall protection. We also have additional OSHA classes that will be coming up real soon, I think.
Six, seven.
Yeah, that we'll be sending additional people to. So we are addressing situations that way. We're trying to remediate any situations that would have came up. I will say in the last month we've taken, I think, bigger steps toward improving the safety of our programs in general. I know that Mike Shoda has been working recently to, I know at least looking at new trench box.
Yeah.
That's going to be a big improvement to what we currently have, as well as some other things. And so we are addressing it as swiftly as possible. Does that answer your question?
Yes, sir. I told the guys from OSHA that we're not going to meet their expectations. We're going to exceed it. At least until they're off our back, you know, we're going to go above and beyond. Then we'll go back to their expectations afterwards.
Yeah.
Something should have been done after the first time. The second time, that's bad, but the third time was just unforgivable, as far as I'm concerned.
So we are going hardcore at safety, which is good. That's, again, if you remember, that was one of the reasons why we hired an HR director, was to handle not only, obviously, the HR functions, but also to address safety issues. And I think she's done that in a fair manner, and it just happens to pick up. It's happened to pick up recently. So. Anything else? Okay. Ben?
Two things. The ordinance committee met, like Tim said, we have a bunch of them. They'll be coming to the council for too long. The biggest one's the nuisance ordinance, and probably have considerable discussion on that. Second thing.
Can I interrupt you for 2 seconds?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Did you get my email about the nuisance, the noise ordinance things that I forwarded to you? I gave you like five of them. Did you? Okay. I just didn't know if that was any help or hindrance to what we had. I don't know if you had talked about that.
Yeah, we didn't talk about the specific noise.
That's okay.
But at the next meeting, I'll bring it up.
And the reason I bring that up is there's a discussion going on among many municipalities about noise ordinance, and specifically regarding noise ordinance, how do you enforce the noise ordinance? How do you decide what, you know, that this is too loud or this is not loud enough or those kind of things? So I just bring that up because it's a discussion. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, that's right. And the second item, as we go towards this rate discussion,
yes,
where are we on our utility board?
Not much farther than the last time.
It might be a good time to get them involved.
I think that's probably a good point. I think I have 3 of the 5 secured. And what?
He's made for me yet.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, because I have, yes. So, I will put it back at the top of my agenda. I apologize for dropping the ball. I will take responsibility for that one. Yes.
That's it.
Thank you. Nicole?
Nothing.
Bill?
Nothing.
Audience? Yay.